Perloff skipping into work today after his Philadelphia Eagles in a tight game blow the doors open in the fourth quarter. Saquon Barkley, the difference, two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. And everything's coming up Philadelphia this week.
Did you notice I wore this ugly green sweater? Now, what color are the Eagles jersey? What is this shade of green called?
Ugly green.
Midnight green?
I'll say forest green.
I don't think so.
Well, regardless, they look like it looks like winner's green this morning because now six in a row for the Eagles. Now, in this stretch, they haven't played a lot of really impressive teams, but they did beat the Cincinnati Bengals on the road, and that was impressive. And now the Commanders in a game where, quite frankly, no team was really playing well through three quarters. You know, it was hard. It felt like a bit of a stalemate. No one was scoring. And then all of a sudden, fourth quarter, a couple key things happened. Number one, Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Commanders, they're trailing by two because the Eagles kicker missed two field goals and an extra point. So the score was 12-10. And instead of kicking a 41-yard field goal on a fourth and two, they decide to go for it. They get stonewalled. And then on the next possession, Saquon Barkley scores. And then things started to loosen up a little bit more. And Saquon Barkley had two of the more easier touchdown runs that he will ever have in his entire career. He was the difference last year.
Yeah, I mean, all that is true, but would you buy this for me? Like, there was no doubt who the better team was. The Commanders could not block the Eagles' defensive line at all. If the Eagles had a kicker, they probably would have had a commanding lead at that point. I think the Eagles screwed up to make that even a game. They outplayed them. They were the better team on both lines. Definitely the defensive line, and I thought the O-line would start to push them around. So that was just sort of a bunch of fluke things happened, a couple really terrible calls that kept the Commanders in the game. They were pushed around last night. They are an inferior team roster-wise to the Eagles.
Yeah, and it's starting to look like if you want to believe more in the Eagles and the talent that they have on the defense and the offense, is it starting to look a little fraudulent for Washington? And listen, the thing about the Washington Commanders is Jaden Daniels, you know, has had a fantastic first half of the season. How is this a little bit less than second half going to look? Is it going to look wildly different? And is there going to be this rookie wall, and does it start now? And then the other part is, you know, are you really believing that Washington, who will make the playoffs most likely because they're 7-4 and they have a big lead, but is that just it, you know? And that's fine, by the way. A rookie quarterback, you make the playoffs, but there were some high hopes, and people got really excited about this Washington team, and last night was not good for them.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The expectation comes back to normal, but they built this funny team where everybody's on a one-year deal, and they have all these veteran defensive backs. So they have, like, a little bit of all-in-ness this year. Not like all, I mean, like Bobby Wagner, I don't know if he's coming back, Frankie Louvu, all these guys that you know from other teams are there on their defense, and they played really well. The guy who's been a superstar for them, Dante Fowler, was just eaten up by the Eagles' offensive line last night. So they definitely have, like, so many guys on that defense that played a lot of NFL football, so they should be okay. I don't think the bottom falls out. They're an older team on the defensive side. Dan Quinn's a good defensive coach. I think they're going to be fine. But you're right. They remind me so much of the Texans made the playoffs last year with C.J. Stroud, a rookie quarterback, and then won a game, but didn't really make any noise. And they got killed by the Ravens.
Yeah, and then the expectations went through the roof. And right now the Texans have been fine, but they haven't been amazing.
The Texans roster is different than the Commanders roster. The Commanders have a lot of work to really fill this thing out.
Yeah, I think really the big thing of what the Commanders will probably tell you is that they needed a lot of these veteran guys because they were trying to do this whole culture shift.
Definitely.
Right?
I think it worked.
Yeah, I think definitely. It couldn't have gotten worse than the Dan Snyder era. Sheesh. I mean, this guy's on a yacht parked in international waters because I don't think he's got a persona non grata in the U.S. right now. I mean, that's tough, right? So you're going from one extreme and trying to create another. So I guess mission accomplished for them. But again, I think the expectations got raised with Jaden Daniels. And I'm curious to see what the second half of the season is going to look like for Caleb Williams with a new offensive coordinator. Bo Nix, they could be a playoff team. He's got Sean Payton with him as a head coach. And Drake May is actually looking quite good in the last couple games. You know,
no, I
is don't... Daniels still going to be the cream of the crop of this rookie quarterback class when all is said and done?
I think I don't know how the voting for Rookie of the Year works, but it's going to be so unanimous because he's going to win a bunch of games.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, even last night, for most of the game, he avoided mistakes. He only has 3 interceptions on the year as a rookie. That's incredible. I was waiting desperately. Like, he's got to give the ball up. We need a turnover. And he just does not put the ball in harm's way. Then at the end, I don't know what happened. He threw one really bad interception. But generally, they're quite conservative on offense. They hand the ball off a lot. They don't. They're going to play really smart and win with defense. Remember, they have Marshawn Lattimore coming next week or their next game. They have a lot of guys. They're probably going to end up with 10 wins. And regardless of the individual performances of all those rookie quarterbacks you mentioned, there's no way you're going to keep a 10-win Jaden Daniels out of Rookie of the Year. Like, I don't think anyone – do you think anyone's going to make any room up here? I think he's going to be far and away the top quarterback coming out of this.
No, I think Rookie of the Year is a given. It's like minus 5,000 or something on DraftKings. It's not that. There was a conversation about if you redrafted...
100% he would go number one. There's not even a question.
But we haven't even gone through the full season. Again, he might have just been the guy who got out to the hottest start, the fastest start, and also because of how many games he'd played in college, although Bo Nix played a lot of games too. But was this just... I don't want to say peaking too early, but don't you have to see how the rest of the season plays out after last night? 18 rushing yards for a guy who's a dual threat quarterback. And you're right, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. That's great. He's above average in that way, but they couldn't do jack. And they did have their running back, Brian Robinson, back last night. Yeah, and but still, the Eagles were overwhelming him.
They were overwhelming, but he's still, his numbers, 22 for 32, 191 yards, one touchdown, one interception.
It's not.
That was in a game where they couldn't block anybody. I give him a little credit. He missed. There was one big play that he missed, and I don't know what happened, but that happens. Even the best quarterbacks miss a throw here and there. To say that the big concern about Jaden Daniels is, could he take a hit in the NFL? And for the most part, he has, although there are a lot of stats. Since he got hurt, his numbers have gone way down, but he's still, even last night, he's efficient. He's obviously knows how to see the field. He can figure out what the defense is doing. I think it's all good. He's lost 2 games to the really good teams.
Okay, so I found an article from 2022. So this would have been when Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator for Washington, would have been let go. So if you go back to all the way back to his first season as head coach of Texas Tech in 2013, his record in the second half of games from game 8 of a season onward is 17-45. That's what I'm seeing in the article. That's crazy. So I just wonder, are we seeing that again? Are we seeing the things, these trends that we had seen for so long? Are we seeing that? He's never been above 500 in the second half of a season.
He's not the head coach, for one. And second of all, even so, I still think this schedule is going to lay out really nicely for them. Unless Daniels gets hurt. How you said it earlier, read it again. Like, there's no way they're going to get 3 wins out of this.
Just to put a finer point on the second half struggles for Kingsbury, and you're right, he's not the head coach, but when you have a defensive head coach, I think he does have a lot of autonomy over the offense, right?
Right.
Okay, so Texas Tech, first season, lost 5 of the last 6. Second season, 4 of the last 6. Third season, 4 of the last 6. Fifth, 6 of the last 8. 6 of the last 8, 5 of the last 5. Then with the Cardinals, he lost his first season, 7 of their last 9, 5 of their last 7, and 5 of their last 6. And then he was fired. It's beyond a trend. I'm going to say that.
This is his career. This is what it's been. That's why I said last hour, I'm very concerned watching their offense look like that and wondering, is this going to be another Cliff Kingsbury situation where they start off great and then the bottom falls out?
I thought they looked pretty good against the Steelers. I know his numbers weren't great, but I didn't come away worried about Washington's offense and after that Steelers game. Last night, they were over. Their line
didn't
could not.
They have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter? But I guess that's a little more on the defense, too, but still.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, Jaden Daniels, it started off real slow against Pittsburgh, but then they really kind of figured some things out. And that's the best defense? That's one of the top 3 defenses in the league. So last night, they couldn't block. You could see, like, to me, that was an O-line loss, not the quarterback. That being said, like, that defense, when you get Lattimore in there, like, they have really good players. I think they're going to, and I guess Cliff made the playoffs, too, in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get 10, 11 wins and be just fine. And then, it's good. I mean, are they a contender? No, but making the playoffs in the first year would be great.
So you wanted their schedule. Yeah. Dallas is next. That's home. Home for Tennessee. Then they're bye. out of the bye, they're at New Orleans before they get Philly again.
They're going to need that bye because they're a little banged up. I think Jaden Daniels, you know, they should win all three of those games, Dallas, Tennessee, at New Orleans. And last night, they had a chance to have a lead over the Eagles with 8 minutes left in the game. I don't think that game against Philly and Washington is a guarantee. They should be in totally fine playoff shape.
855-212-4227. Okay, so you can weigh in on the Jaden Daniels of it all. I'm curious what the conversation is at the end of the year, just with respect to the other rookie quarterbacks. Because, by the way, he might not be the only rookie quarterback who's going to make the playoffs. It looks like Bo Nix, the Denver Broncos could make it as well. And then also for the Philadelphia Eagles, I think there have been people like you, Perloff, and maybe others who are reluctant to say, oh, this Eagles team is actually a contender.
Yeah. Well, they haven't really beaten the best competition yet. So I think they're on a little bit of a run. But, I mean, who knows? Again, I was just saying the Commanders are a playoff team, but the Commanders, that does not wildly impress. Just because you can beat up the Commanders in Philly and still be in the game doesn't mean you're coming out of the NFC. So I they're better than I thought. I'll be totally honest. I thought the defense was going to struggle like last year, and Vic Fangio has had a lot of success, found these guys out of nowhere who are all of a sudden playing out of their mind. But does that mean they're better than Detroit? Not in my mind.
I think Detroit is definitely the class of the NFC. I don't know who would say otherwise.
But the Eagles have jumped to number two in the odds out of the NFC, which they had not been most of the season. So this Barkley thing is quite promising. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if he's getting too many touches. 26 touches, carries last night. Even more touches. I might start kind of mixing in other guys just to save them. Because
that's
now,
how you break
now
them.
The playoffs are pretty safe.
That's how you break them. Believe me.
What, too many carries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was the fear when they signed him. It's like, oh, are we going to get a full season of Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, it'll happen.
To be honest, though, and, you know, Manny, you're obviously salty Giants fan, but even you would agree with me on this, he's never ran behind an offensive line that's even half as good as what the Eagles have.
What's the difference? Someone's going to hit him at the end of every play anyway.
I'm just saying he was getting – there used to be a world – and you don't see it nearly as much, where Saquon Barkley was getting demolished 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Those plays don't really happen as much anymore. And I think at least you can protect yourself, I think, a little bit more when you're the guy who's kind of falling forward, maybe, as opposed to who's someone who's you're just getting pancaked. And that used to happen a lot with the Giants.
Mm.
Listen, I know it's degrees of like brutality here and viciousness in terms
I don't know
of
hits, I feel like when you get in the open field you could take some hits too, but
an awkward hip drop tackle as well.
There was a hip drop last night that they didn't call, they
just don't call those anymore.
Yeah,
they said it would be impossible to call it in real time, right? Wasn't that part of why they
did they say that? Because I feel like people have been criticizing him for not calling, because I think it was Devontae Smith got hip dropped and they didn't say anything.
Joe Mixon lost like 3 games of the season because of a hip drop tackle.
I do think that actually, like, let's be real here. Like, numbers prove if you give the running back the ball too many times, you risk injury. So, but here's what gives me hope. Christian McCaffrey had that crazy healthy year for Niners last year. He's never healthy. So we get 1 year of Saquon, so the Eagles better go for it.
This is it. 855-212-4227. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on that. You're also, I'm curious, are you going to watch this Tyson-Jake Paul fight? We have the poll up in our chat. Maybe we can put that up on X as well. EJ, are you going to watch? Are you going to tune in? Because it's already in your Netflix. This is not a pay-per-view thing. You don't have to press go on $59.99 or $79.99. Gosh, paying for a fight.
That's assuming you have Netflix.
Assuming you have Netflix. Can't you just get someone's password? Am I not supposed to say that? Did they cut down on that?
There's some crackdown on that. Because we had to get a Netflix subscription recently because of that.
Yeah, no,
we
had to get a second Netflix so my daughter could watch, and it's the most annoying thing ever. I saw the bill the other day, and I called my wife. Yeah, they're really coming down on that because quite liberal sharing it, to be honest.
wait, hold on 1 second. You had to get a second Netflix for your daughter in the same house?
Yeah, they're really strict right now. Like, you can't have it on 3 devices.
Oh, because I was going to say you can have different profiles, like shows you want to watch versus shows your wife wants to watch.
Yeah, no, but we only have, we have really one TV, and then everybody watches on devices.
Got it.
And I asked my wife, it doesn't make any sense to me, but for some reason I'm paying $24 a month for Netflix for now. I'm going to get behind that one.
Wow. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think you're paying?
15 something something? No? I got to double check.
0.4 does sound high.
It's, you know, a second account. It's a second account.
Second account. Yeah.
Trust me, they're finding people. All I'm hearing a lot of people have to pay a second.
We were trying to watch Love Is Blind, and like all of a sudden it was like, nope, you got to pay. And I'm like, all right, I guess we got to open a new account.
Humanity.
Love Is Blind is serious.
You like what you like.
Exactly.
Everybody loves Love Is Blind. That is
that's like the
more mainstream to like than to not like.
Yeah.
By the way, and I believe in romance. I like the concept.
You like the concept of seeing someone behind a wall.
Yes, I want. When I was single, it was all about personality for me.
It's empathy. 855-212-4227. Coming up next, Nick Kostos will join us from You Better You Bet. Let's make some money, shall we? Speaking of which, Prize Picks. We love it. We're obsessed. The best place to get real money sports action when you watch football and the NBA, and football and the NBA combined is even better. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings, of which Perloff and I have personally won on Prize Picks, and it is just so much fun. It's daily fantasy sports made accessible to all. What do you do? Download the app. So simple. Then you pick two or more players across any sport, and then just more or less on the projection. That's it. It's a thumbs up, it's a thumbs down, and you could win up to 100 times your money, Pearl.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We have some college football. If you can't watch the fight because you don't have a second Netflix account, you got Colorado State. I'm going Braden Fowler over pass yards tonight. Prize Picks even invented flex play, so you can cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. It's awesome. I got a little bit burned by Lauri Markkanen last night. I don't take it personal. I'll get it tonight. I swear, I'm all over the NBA. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Wild show. We're getting ready for a big weekend. I can't bet on the Tyson Jake Paul farce. I'm glad about that in New York State. Other states you could bet on it, but there is plenty of football to bet on this weekend, Maggie.
Yeah, and that's when we welcome in our pal Nick Kostos from You Better You Bet. Nick, before we get into the football, are you betting on the Tyson Jake Paul fight? Or, by the way, John Jones Stipe Miocic is another huge fight, an actual, like, two really amazing fighters who are going at it for the UFC side.
I've actually 41 years of life on this planet, and great to be on with you guys. I've never been more insulted by a question. Duh, of course.
I'm sorry.
Like, obviously.
Okay,
obviously.
Do you want to do the prop bet of what Tyson's going to bite on Jake Paul? Because there's some unsavory body parts that I could be mentioning right now.
Yeah, well, Jake Paul's wearing like a diamond ear cover, which I thought was pretty funny. Yeah, like So for tonight's fight, we'll start there. And then I do have a bet for the main event of UFC 309 tomorrow night at the Garden with John Jones. What a throwback main event. Like, John Jones and Miocic hasn't fought in like 3 years. Jones hasn't fought in 18 months. So really interesting main event for UFC tomorrow night. But for Tyson and Paul, I don't think, Maggie, that this is quite the betting opportunity that Mayweather-McGregor was, which is arguably like the greatest sports betting opportunity of all of our lifetimes, which is maybe the greatest boxer of all time versus guy who has never boxed before, and guy who has never boxed before was getting bet by everybody, which made absolutely no sense. And Mayweather obviously won the fight. I don't think this is that. Obviously, like, Jake Paul's not Mayweather, and obviously Mike Tyson has a ton more experience than Conor McGregor. Tyson's also 58 years old. Now, they have tried to level the playing field a little bit. There will be, these are 2 minute rounds tonight.
Yep.
So like less time, so Tyson can be fresher, and the gloves are less heavy, like to account for like the difference in almost 30 year age gap between the two. But even with that, I don't see Mike Tyson winning this fight. Now, maybe there's kind of like a wink, wink, like nod, nod, like agreement to get this to a rematch at some point. I don't know if Jake Paul's going to knock Tyson out. I do think Jake Paul will win the fight, so I would bet Jake Paul to win. I also think you could do worse than betting the fight to go to decision. So then you could maybe get a rematch between the two and they can make the print even more money. But I would not bet Mike Tyson. Tyson is going to be like the betting favorite because he's Mike Tyson and he's the underdog. I think Jake Paul will win the fight. For tomorrow night, so John Jones is a huge favorite, like a way bigger favorite than Jake Paul is tonight against Tyson. Almost like minus 700, which means you'd have to lay $700 to win 100 if you bet on John Jones. We had yesterday on You Better You Bet, Ariel Helwani on the show. It was like the premier combat sports journalist in the country, BetMGM ambassador. And Ariel said something I thought that was really interesting. People are sleeping on Stipe Miocic coming into this fight. He sees this as more of like a 50-50 proposition. And what I would say is, like, yeah, Stipe hasn't fought in a number of years since he got destroyed by Francis Ngannou and lost his heavyweight championship. We barely see John Jones fight. Now, if you're telling me that this is like even money, I'll take John Jones. But if I can get plus 500 on Stipe Miocic in a fight that some of the biggest experts feel is should not be as lopsided as it is what the odds say it is, yeah, I bet on Stipe Miocic to win the fight tomorrow night. So Jake Paul tonight, the fight to go to decision tonight. Give me Stipe Miocic to win the main event tomorrow of UFC 309.
That's really interesting. You're talking about with the Tyson Paul. The best way you get a rematch, though, I think, is if Tyson wins. If Paul wins, I think people don't want to see Tyson anymore, potentially. But that would be my one thing. Then the second one, but you're right about Stipe. I think the other part of this too about John Jones, and I love him. He's from my hometown. Like it, you know, his brother
seems like a great guy.
Well,
you love John Jones.
No.
Yeah, see, it seems like an awesome guy.
He's not. But you know how
he's a terrible person, but he's from my hometown.
He's from Binghamton, so therefore he could do no wrong. Nick.
Listen, you want to get behind people and root for people who come from where you come from, and it's been impossible to do that with John. But I don't trust that he's been training in a way that is real, because he doesn't earn that benefit of the doubt. I don't know how seriously he's taking it. So I think that Stipe bet is the right one.
Can I see?
Well, maybe he's on steroids like he was against Cormier, in which case then it'll be a little tougher.
Well, we're not going to find out probably until after.
Nick, can I?
Fair enough.
Can I explain what's really going on here?
Yeah.
In the Maggie and Perloff show universe. So Maggie does not want to get to NFL football because last week she directly contradicted you with her pick of the week. And she was cursing herself. But she made a pick before you came on.
Yeah.
It was the Miami game.
I'm so
And
dumb.
Everybody, Miami Rams, and I was with her. I did not understand.
Julia's like the Rams, yeah.
I like the Rams. Maggie liked the Rams. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp were playing. But you were so adamant about the Dolphins. How did you figure that out?
Well, I think it's less to do with the Rams and more to do with Miami. And I actually think like we have an interesting betting opportunity in the Dolphins game on Sunday against the Raiders, where so Tua comes back from injury and the Dolphins lose the first two games. They lose to Arizona and then they lose to Buffalo, right? They lose both games on last second field goals. You can make not that they should have won. They should have beaten Arizona. I think they played Buffalo like a standstill and then Bass makes the 61 yarder, like you tip your cap, right? Arizona's 6-4. The Bills are 8-2. Like, to me, that says the Dolphins are a really good team. So going into Monday night's game, my thought, Perloff, was I want to start thinking about the Dolphins like we collectively thought about the Dolphins coming into the year. And I actually think and maybe they never get there. Like, maybe it doesn't happen. But I actually think there's another gear for the Dolphins to hit, because we have yet to see this offense with Tua as the quarterback really have one of those blow up games that they had so many times last year. Like, Jalen Waddle doesn't have a game this year over 60 yards receiving. Tyreek Hill's dealing with a wrist injury, obviously, right? Devon Achane's been the entire offense. What happens when like everything clicks? It hasn't happened once this year when everything clicks, because the defense is a lot better than expected. So if all of that is true, and the point spread's going to be 7 on Sunday against the Raiders, and I love taking the points at home with Antonio Pierce. They made the offensive changes during the bye week. I feel like Miami almost has to be valuable in this game against Vegas on Sunday. So Monday night was less about the Rams for me and a lot more about the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, what's interesting there is Perloff never believed in the Dolphins. Even coming into the season, nope. He thought they were all fool's gold, so he wouldn't have been able to spot that one. But yeah,
they are 3-6, to be fair, to Perloff. So.
I was a loser on that one, Nick. You were the big winner. Let's get to more NFL for this week, because obviously starts with, you know, a game that was not as awesome last night, but Perloff's Eagles end up winning. Let's go to some of the big games. First, the Ravens and the Steelers. How much do you buy into a team having another team's number, and not the team, but the quarterback? Like, the fact that Lamar Jackson, 1-3 against the Steelers, has had all these issues, thrown so many interceptions against them. Do you buy into that at all? And how are you betting this game this weekend?
That one loss record is so funny, right? Given how long Lamar's been the Ravens quarterback, because he never plays
he
in
never
these
plays
games
him.
Against the Steelers. Yeah. It's like, here's Tyler Huntley, like in all these games against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I love the Ravens. I loved the Eagles last night. I love the Ravens in this game on Sunday. I really only wanted to bet Philadelphia minus three. We talked about that on my show on Monday. It closed like 4.5. I thought that was a pretty valuable bet. It turned out to be, even though Jake Elliott tried his, I was, oh man, I was melting my face off last night when Elliott was missing those kicks. When we get to Sunday, I think it's possible, and it won't happen in the same way, but I think it's possible we'll leave that game saying, wow, like in the same way we kind of left last night, and Jaden Daniels might not be 100% healthy, but yeah, the Eagles are probably better than the Commanders. Like, in Washington's good, but the Eagles are probably better. Mm-hmm. I think we'll leave Sunday's game saying Baltimore's better than Pittsburgh. Mm. I don't think any defense, maybe Kansas City's, any defense is stopping this Ravens offense. With the way the level Lamar Jackson's playing at, this is the best he's played in his whole career. I think the Ravens are going to be able to score for sure on the Steelers defense. And on the flip side, and the total got bet up in this game. This is the highest Ravens Steelers total there had to been in 20 years, almost 50. And think about the way that the games these two teams usually play, right? Whether the Roethlisberger Flacco games. The thought is that the Steelers will be able to score also. Now, remember last Thursday night, Ravens-Bengals. Everyone's talking correctly about how the Ravens secondary and defense can't stop anyone. Now here's a rejuvenated Russell Wilson throwing the moon balls, not just to George Pickens, but to big Mike Williams, right? Who caught the game-winning touchdown last week for the Steelers against the Commanders. I don't think, my opinion is that Russell Wilson's playing above his skis right now. Mm. I don't think this, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not trying to be a hater. I think they're going to the playoffs. I don't think they're as good as Baltimore. I think the difference between the teams is wider than this. If the point spread's going to be three, I'll lay the Ravens. I feel like at worst, I push my bet.
Love it. All right, we're talking to Nick Kostos. I've been trying to get this topic front and center in today's show, and Maggie is not as interested as I am.
You guys feel like you've got some issues.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one is because I'm like, let's lead with the kicking problems around the NFL. And Maggie's like,
oh, here comes Harrison Butker, right?
Yeah. On IR. Well, it's a big deal.
When you look at these bets, actually, the three big late games, Niners, Seahawks, almost definitely coming down to the kicking game. Bills, Chiefs.
No.
Dude, the Niners, there is not a single special teams play that is not a wild adventure for that team.
That is true. That is true.
And then the Bengals, Charger. The Bengals, are the only reason they're not a playoff team is because of Evan McPherson. The only reason they lost to the Ravens last week is Evan McPherson. Like, he's gone.
Perloff.
Dude, he is lost. What is happening? Do you look at the kickers when you're making these bets?
I'm not saying Evan McPherson's good, but I mean, the Bengals defense also couldn't stop the three of us.
Yes, but the Bengals would not even try a field goal attempt because they know he's totally got the yips. So they kept on going.
They went for it because the Ravens, because they know they can't stop the Ravens.
They're terrified of that kicker because he's not good anymore. Listen, the Eagles, you saw it last night. It almost cost you money.
It did. I would have been so, but actually,
the question was about the Chiefs and the Bills. To me, that's like actually a huge factor in this game.
Yeah, Maggie, I think you're right with what you said, that this is a big deal. I think it is a massive deal. People can say what, I'm not interested in this stuff, but everyone's got strong opinions on Harrison Butker. God bless them. I mean that sincerely. What we can say about Harrison Butker definitively is that he is one of the best kickers in the history of the league. Yeah. And is one of the most clutch kickers in the history, not hyperbole, one of the most clutch kickers in the history of the National Football League. So to go from Harrison Butker to a guy who has been on the Jets practice squad with their kicker woes and Spencer Schrader, this is an obvious disadvantage for the Chiefs here in a game with a really small point spread. I like Kansas City in the game. Maggie, I'm sorry to say that. It's like, and look, no, the Bills have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season the last 3 years. I'm not trying to present this as like the greatest bet of all time, but I mean, you're going to give me, it's just Patrick Mahomes as an underdog has been by leaps and bounds the best quarterback in the history of the league in these situations and winning games when he is an underdog. So I'll bet Mahomes to win the game. But yeah, like, does it worry me that Spencer Schrader's got to trot out there to make a big kick where you feel like really good if it's Butker taking that kick? I don't know how good I'm going to feel if it's Schrader. And I'll take this a step further. You know, normally, and Maggie, I'm curious your opinion as a Bills fan, right? Where normally in a big spot, it's really tough to trust Bass after he missed that kick in the divisional round, right, against the Chiefs. But then he strolls out there 2 weeks ago against Miami and buries one from 61 to win the game. So I actually think, and like, I'm not, this is not like a jinx thing. I mean this. I actually think that I would give, and you would never say this if Butker were kicking, I think you have to feel more confident in the Bills kicking situation and what might be a really close game than the Chiefs kicking situation. Now, that won't stop me from betting the Chiefs, but it does make me more concerned, and I think it does put the Chiefs' chances for a perfect season at jeopardy, having this curtain-jerking jabroni Spencer Schrader kicking for them for the next four games.
You're absolutely right from this. I mean, all like storyline stuff aside, or how people are going to feel about either team coming out of this game, you'd be an idiot not to bet Mahomes as an underdog. What more do you need to see? Like, there's, and yeah, the kicking situation, it's going to be a factor, but you'd, at this point, there's such a mountain of evidence that would tell you that that's a bad bet. So that's just, it's a no-brainer to me. We're talking about Nick Costos. You better, you bet. Okay, got a couple more for you, Nick. Really big NFL games this weekend, major playoff implications. Two more for you, obviously. Seahawks, 49ers, Bengals, Chargers. The bigger point spread, Seahawks, 49ers. 49ers home looks like it's about 6.5 with the total sitting at 47.5. How do you like this game?
I'll give you a kind of a lame answer to this one. I kind of think like the point spread's exactly right. If it went up a little bit, like if it went to 7, I would take the points with Seattle. That would be the side that I would like to take. If you gave me $100 and made me bet the game, I would bet Seattle plus 6.5. I do think it matters a lot that they're going to get DK Metcalf back in this game. He had missed the two games prior to the bye. I don't know. I'll say this about Mad-Eye Moody, professor of the dark arts and terrible, terrible field goal kicker. You know, he was brutal last year in the Harry Potter fans out there. Brutal in the postseason last year and then like drilled a bunch of 50-yarders in the Super Bowl. So he has shown the, and I'm not saying that he's going to be awesome moving forward, but he has already shown the ability in his young career to kind of shake it off and like, and kick well the next week. So we'll see how that goes. I would prefer to take the Seahawks if I had to bet the game, but it is not one of my favorites. Sunday Night Football with the Bengals and the Chargers. We are sitting right now. Chargers are a 1.5-point home favorite. The total is 47.5. So I think the wrong team's favored. I think the Bengals should be favored.
Yeah.
My and not like a 3-point favorite. I think the Bengals should be like, yeah, I make my point spreads in the NFL. I make Cincinnati like a 1-point favorite in the game. So I should bet Cincinnati on the money line. My problem is the coaching advantage in this game. It is so weighted towards Jim Harbaugh, Jesse Minter, and the Chargers that like it's not even funny. So can Joe Burrow overcome this? Maybe not against Justin Herbert. So I actually think the way that I'd like to play this game, and Maggie, this will go back to the Chiefs-Bills game. Buffalo can win, and maybe Buffalo wins a close game, and then they'll lose in January. But maybe Buffalo wins a close game on Sunday. How does Chiefs teased? A two-team six-point teaser. Chiefs to plus 8.5, where the Chiefs lose by 3 or 7, you win. With the Bengals to plus 7.5 on Sunday Night Football, where maybe they lose. Joe Burrow losing by 10 points? I don't think so. I guess it's possible, right? I just don't think it would happen. Chargers, Chiefs, two-team teaser. You could also put the Dolphins in a teaser against the Raiders and feel pretty good about it on Sunday.
You know what's funny? I have no idea how good the Chargers are. Do you guys know?
Their defense is actually really
but
good.
But how do you know they played the worst offenses around the league?
Well, I guess the quarterbacks they face have not been really good.
Except for Kyler Murray. But generally, I hear what you're saying about the coaching advantage, Nick, but it's kind of funny the way their schedule is laid out. I think it's hard to read that team.
Well, because I've thought a lot about this, right? So, and Maggie, I think you should think, seriously, yeah. I think you should think about this. Buffalo, I don't think Buffalo or Baltimore is ever beating Kansas City in the playoffs, like in January. I don't think it's happening. So if you're a Bills fan, Maggie, you are, or you're out listening and you're a Ravens fan, or you want to bet the Ravens to get to the Super Bowl, like, I think you need someone else to beat Kansas City.
I just said this, Nick. Are you reading my brain? That I literally just said this last, I said last hour, the Bills have to have a run like your Yankees did, where they've got to get the, whoever the Royals and the Guardians are of the NFL, they're just going to need a little help. If they're going to get to the Super Bowl, that they don't have to face the Chiefs again.
Like when the Steelers made it the 2 years with Roethlisberger, like they never had to play the Patriots.
Exactly.
For example, like they were able to get there because the Patriots weren't there. So if we think about it, right, in the AFC, which team would you have the most confidence? The Bengals might be the answer. The Bengals might not make it, and the Bengals' defense is terrible. Is it possible the Chargers are going to go to the playoffs?
Yep.
The Chargers are going to be a wild card team. Is it possible that the team with the best chance of beating the Chiefs in the playoffs is the in the AFC is the LA Chargers? Is that possible? Is the Chargers' ultimate upside this year to actually be such, because Harbaugh's a great coach, Jesse Minter is a ridiculously good defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and it's not like they have like a jabroni quarterback, like Justin Herbert's the quarterback, where if they need to unleash him, they have like a top 10 quarterback that they're able to do that with. So I think the question, they're trying to solve this problem, what's the Chargers' mm-hmm. ultimate upside, is very interesting. Like if you get in the second round of the playoffs, because right now, like, I think the AFC South champion will probably be the four seed. And the Chargers might be the top wild card team. Chargers at Texans in the wild card round, I'll take the Chargers. I'll take the Chargers to win that game. And then you probably get Buffalo, Baltimore in the second round as the 2-3, and then Chargers go to Kansas City and Arrowhead. I'm not saying that the Chargers would definitely win that game, but I mean, you'd give them a chance, right?
I have no idea.
Now with Harbaugh, I would.
Also, Justin Herbert looks like he's about to get murdered at about five times a game. Like, is that guy going to be healthy? Is Spagnuolo going to destroy him? They only averaged 2 yards a carry when they played last time.
I know, but Herbert's got all these explosive plays. He doesn't throw the ball a lot right now.
Yeah, I guess
now,
like the Titans.
Got like 20-plus plays. All right, Nick, we're running out of time here. Your upset pick of the week. We actually haven't talked a lot of college, but your upset pick of the week, artist choice, my friend. Let's hit the music.
Okay, so part of me, like, I don't have the chutzpah to take the Bears, so I won't do that. I don't. I wish I did. Okay, how about this one? And the Chiefs don't count, right? Because they're an underdog, technically.
Absolutely
that's kind
not.
Of a, that's, okay. How about this one? So Devontae Adams hasn't practiced the last couple days for the Jets. I've lost so much money on the Jets. Like, I'm the idiot here. Like, I know, in all seriousness, like, I should have the scarlet letter L for loser for betting the Jets as many times as I have. Anthony Richardson put back into the starting lineup for Indianapolis. Is it possible that Anthony Richardson's couple weeks on the bench has perhaps unlocked some of the tantalizing potential that we saw during his rookie year last year and week one this year against the Houston Texans? Let's take Anthony Richardson and the Indianapolis Colts to go on the road and beat the New York Jets this weekend at MetLife.
Whatever was left of E.J. Stewart's soul just leaked right out of his Jets-loving body. Nick Kostos,
Sorry, you better bet.
He's used to it. Nick Kostos, you better you bet. Thank you, Nick. Have a great weekend and appreciate you.
Great, and let's lay Georgia this weekend against Tennessee. Wishing everybody minimal sweats when he bets. The absolute very best of luck.
Thank you, Nick. I was thinking about that one.
Has it?
No ETN, though.
Other guy is good, too. It doesn't feel like a lot of people believe in Tennessee.
Yeah, no,
because
well,
like everyone looked at
quarterbacks
the,
in concussion protocols. So.
Right, everyone looked at the rankings and said that's okay because Georgia's going to beat Tennessee and be back into the playoff again anyway. And then I guess Tennessee is in real danger. Yeah, that I don't know. I feel like everyone is discounting Tennessee a little too much because they have that great defensive line, right? You look at a mock draft and there's a lot of Tennessee on there.
Let's get more into college football next. It's Maggie and Perloff. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Exciting. And never know who you're going to see in the hallways here.
Yeah.
The brand new voice of the New York Yankees, Dave Sims, now in the building today.
He's going to be great.
He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Did such a great job with the Seattle Mariners for so many years and has done so much more than that, just saying hi to both Bogish and to Perloff.
Also, just to replace it, we're also John Sterling fans, so it's cool to have that legacy go on.
And I'm a huge Ricky Ricardo fan, and I thought Ricky did a phenomenal job filling in. Ricky is such a pro.
Yeah.
And, whether it was Ricky, whether it was Dave, they both do such amazing jobs, and it's the Yankees are in good hands.
Ricky Ricardo has work to do. He has more important things going
on. Oh, because of the Eagles.
Because he does the Spanish broadcast of the Philadelphia Eagles and is awesome at that.
Yeah.
And he's, by the way, he's so tuned in to everything. When Ricky calls a game, like, he knows the backstory, so he gives me the real juice of what's going on.
Oh, yeah? You got some kind of back channel?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, no, like, you
it's
know
funny,
how
all the texts are in Spanish, though, so I don't know what you're getting.
Merrill Reese, the actual, the other
the player, English language, yeah.
Yeah, he knows more about the Eagles than any human being. Like, he knows where every single body is buried.
And
he
just can't say. Big Dom?
He can't say.
Did Merrill put him there?
He knows where Big Dom put the bodies.
He's the shovel guy.
Hey. But as you know, that you know how the radio guys get inside this, but they can't say the things.
No.
No. I mean, if you want Fordham basketball dirt, I'm your guy, but I just, I guess.
Bring it to us. What do you got?
I don't think anybody cares.
Shoes in the bottom of the Hudson.
Well, actually, that part where Fordham is in New York, there's a lot of people wearing cement shoes.
Isn't that where? Ever heard of the Bronx?
Yeah, that's like literally where everybody of all time has been thrown about 100 yards from where
every mafia hit of all time somehow originated from some restaurant on Arthur Avenue.
Yeah, exactly.
Bronx.
Yeah, the Bronx Zoo's right there, so you got tigers to feed if necessary.
Oh, gosh. That's more
Does that happen? I don't think so.
Isn't that in Tiger King? Bogish has headlines for us. Hi.
And they're sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score.
It's called Ninja Tay.
Washington Commanders have hit the first rough patch of their season. 2 losses in 5 days. The defense struggling, and the rookie QB has leveled off for the moment.
On first down, Daniels goes back. He lets it fly. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Blankenship. I believe he caught it.
Yes.
Thanks for the confirmation. The INT came in between Saquon Barkley rushing scores as the Eagles came from behind for a 26-18 win at home on Thursday Night Football. Jaden Daniels only completed 4 passes to wide receivers last night. He was held under 200 yards passing and to just 18 running.
I got to play better. Some throws I want back, for sure. I think we all just got to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, how can we get better moving forward?
His Commanders now a game and a half behind the Eagles in the NFC East. The Philly win streak up to 6. And with his 146 yards, Saquon Barkley is now the league's leading rusher.
Yes.
The only game in the NBA last night gave us a little drama.
Clarkson with 5 on the clock now starts the play. Bullets at the Collins. Who's unguarded? It dunks. Luka forgot his man.
Look at Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson with a one-hand bullet to John Collins, who grabbed it and dunked.
David Locke, Jazz Radio.
Wait a minute. Radio. This must be the best highlight of all time. That's a hell of a call.
They do a really good job for a team that's now 3-8, and that was their first home win of the season. But as they said, John Collins dunked because Luka decided to just not guard him.
That was a misunderstanding. I thought I was going to go hit. Thank you, Todd. Grimes thought he was going to go hit. It was allowed, so we misunderstood the bench. That's on me.
Okay, they misunderstood the bench is what he says, but if you watch the video, he's never even looking at John Collins, who just walks away from him and catches a pass and dunks.
It
so.
Is it is the textbook definition of his controller died. He did not, simply did not pick him up.
Not even a little bit.
He was just kind of standing by the elbow and just kind of... Just kind of thinking about Slovenian food, I guess. I don't know.
Honestly, if I played in a league and English was my second language, every time I screwed up, I'd answer the question in my native tongue. All the good stuff I'll answer in English. All the bad stuff, nah, you're not getting my English.
Like Sammy Sosa answering questions from Congress.
Because the explanation is like, oh, I took a wrong step or like, but him and Quentin Grimes never, he just stands there. Grimes is following a guy on the wing and John Collins just walks away from Luka. It's remarkable.
It's so clear he's trying to anticipate what they think their last play is, and then they just don't have to run it because he's not guarding the guy under the basket. It's bizarre.
It's so weird.
Not cutting the guy who's cutting back door.
I don't even think
he didn't
cut.
He just stood there.
He just wandered.
All right, guys, got it. It's the Mavs. It's not some brilliant defensive team. What else you got, Bo?
But it's Luka.
Yeah, who also plays no defense. Shocker.
That's the underlying point.
We know.
It's nice to say, I thought I was going to do this, but he just doesn't play. U.S. men's soccer scored in the 5th minute, hung on for a 1-0 win in Jamaica. The second and final game in this Nations League quarterfinal is Monday night in St. Louis. Now I'm done.
Bogish, fantastic. Oh, wait, you want to stay with us for a second because Nate's in Alaska. Nate has been on hold. Nate, thank you so much. Of course, we'll all remember Nate because he told us about the bear sighting that he had. The bear was at a drive-up at a KFC in Alaska, which, by the way, everyone knows you can't walk up to the drive-up, Nate.
Oh, yeah.
Well, against tell that the rules. To the bear.
What's on your mind, pal?
By the way, there's no bear sightings right now, either here or Chicago. So
that was worth it. Night, Chicago. Nate just put you in a body bag.
I just wanted to say one thing. I was this close from actually leaving. But I wanted to say, so you guys were talking about Connor McDavid earlier because hockey, he hit 1,000 points at 27 years old. which is insane.
Yes.
It's absolutely insane. But what I wanted to say, do you, anybody, Ovi is about, so Ovechkin, he's yeah. about 34 goals away from beating Wayne Gretzky. Do you think that is one of the things that people would literally watch on TV that, like, okay, it's going to be
yes.
something that nobody would ever think that would be beaten?
Nate, it's going to become a thing like home run chases become a thing. Absolutely. I believe it. Nate, thanks, and thanks for hanging on for us. Do you guys disagree?
No, I just think the nature of hockey, a home run, the guy gets a bat, you can easily flip over to him. You never know when it's going to happen in hockey. So that's tougher.
You're right, but you can't break into a broadcast, but I think we're going to be following it.
Yeah, yeah.
As closely as we would a home run chase. Okay, lots more to do. We got picks on the way and more.